This is Maya Mustafa of the Mirror News, the student newspaper at Henry Ford College in Dearborn, Michigan. I am bringing you the April 2023 edition of our podcast we call Mirror News Now. In this issue, we listen to Editor-in-Chief Catherine Warden as she hosts a conversation about cosplay. What is cosplay, you may ask? Well, let's find out.
Hello, this is Catherine with the Mirror News, and today we are covering the topic of cosplay, what it is, and how to get into it. Today we have with us...
My name is Kiana. I'm the creative editor for the Mirror News.
I'm Tierra. I'm a freelance graphic designer for the Mirror News.
I'm Samuel, and I am a graphic artist for the Mirror News, too.
And I am Catherine, and I am the editor-in-chief of the Mirror News. So let's get into it. Our topic again is going to be cosplay. Let's start off by just briefly talking about what our personal connections to cosplay is, or if we have any, what interests us. Okay. Anybody want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. So I guess growing up, I was always into, you know, very nerd culture things. So like Star Wars and Marvel and DC. So, you know, the topic of going to Comic-Con always came up. And then when you go to Comic-Con, you see people dressing in costumes and whatnot. So that's how I was introduced into cosplay as a whole.
Oh, well, for me, it was that too, with all the, like, well, I don't know how to say it, well, geek culture, back, yeah. Especially back in the early 2000s. But also, interestingly enough, it was also, like, dolls too. If you... Brass dolls, they were in the gauntlet, and that actually kind of made me want to, like, I guess at the time, cosplay as them, because their styles were iconic. So, I mean, that's my connection to it.
Well, I first started off dressing in costumes for Halloween. I always loved Halloween. I always loved dressing up. And then eventually, when I got into college, I finally got, like, my first cosplay. I have like 3 so far. So yeah, I just always loved anime as a kid. Studio Ghibli first got me. So ever since then, I just love, you know, I just like being a different character. It's just fun. I don't know.
For me, I started as a weebae in the Renaissance Festival.
Oh, yes.
Like in the stroller in costume, because my mom's like, cute. So for me, that's where I started. I started with like the full range of having the best handmade costumes, because my mom was like, I'm not gonna buy you a costume, I'm gonna make you a costume. So all of my costumes throughout elementary school were handcrafted, and that kind of led me down the deep dark hole of cosplay, where I'm currently balancing 3 complete cosplays, and I am ashamed to say how many in progress.
Well, you must have had the best costumes, like, right. with the other kids. Like, you were a show-off.
I was the kid that, like, I got bullied when I would show up in the costume, and then the next year, the kid that was bullying me would show up in the cheap store-bought version of that costume. Yeah. But that spiraled me into a deep, dark hole of cosplay that has only grown worse, because I have the mentality of, why should I buy it when I can make it?
The handmade ones, if done well, does look 10 times better than the store-bought ones.
But I feel like there's a level, and on that note, we're going to just go into this, because I feel like there's a, not even just a level of like, oh, hand-bought versus store-bought. I feel like you can make a store-bought costume feel handmade. Yeah. And there are tips, there are tricks that you can do that take those, like, I've bought this off the rack. I've gone to, even going over to, like, Halloween USA or Spirit, and you're buying just that, like...
You're so cheap.
They're bad.
Yeah.
But no, I'm talking, like the ones that, like, I have a... Mercy from Overwatch, like, button up, like, biker jacket thing, like the biker vest that she wears. it's armor. I was not going to handmade that because I don't hate myself. Oh, look, that's buyable. Cool. I'll make the pieces that go around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that can be a starting point for people. Or I know people who have bought, like, those Spider-Man suits. The best hack for those, you get that puffy glue, black puffy glue, and you sit down, you put an anime on, you put a movie on, you cry for a few hours as you hand pipe on those lines.
That would work too.
It's tedious. You hate yourself while you're doing it. But the moment you put it on, you feel like you've sat down, you've actually made something. You see people who are like, holy crap, you look really cool. Like, how'd you get that texture? Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite cosplays that I wear at almost every convention, it's super comfortable, I wear it all the time, is a closet cosplay, which is something people neglect. You can closet cosplay, and it is the easiest thing, because what it is I went and I bought a pair of white jeans, I bought a crop top. I shortened that crop top because I hate proportions of the JoJo characters, but everything is, how much skin can you show on this character without it being a problem? That's also just anime in general, and most characters. But, you know, and then the rest were notions from Joann's. Instead of going out and buying the ridiculous Gucci underwear, or no, Versace underwear that he wears in the manga that they call reference to, I went and bought a trim piece from Joann's that looks close enough to that brand's design. And I hand tacked it on. Guess what? It's super comfortable. I can wear whatever I want. The shirt, I just cropped and then hand sewed it to make sure that it doesn't pull and stretch. And guess what? I get people stopping me for photos for that. They're like, you look like that character.
That's what I've done too, is I've done the closet cosplays is where, so on multiple occasions, my friends have called me Morty from Rick and Morty.
Oh.
And so all I did was get a yellow t-shirt and some like light blue jeans, and I'm Morty, you know.
Now that's all I kind of see.
Oh, yeah. God. Oh, what have I done?
It's visible now.
Okay, another thing I've done is I've kind of cosplayed as Freddie Mercury, where you just need a white tank top, you get the bracelet from Amazon that he wears on his arm, and then you have the same blue jeans, so then you're Freddie Mercury. And of course, the mustache, so.
Yeah.
I've done, who was it, number 5 from...
Oh, yeah, she's so easy.
Oversized blue, some black leggings, some Air Force Ones, and a red cap, and there you go. Who else have I done? I've done her... I did Bumblebee from
Teen Titans.
Yeah.
See, I think there's a stigma against cosplay that it's a hard thing to get into. It's a hard, I can't cosplay. I can dress up, but it's not cosplaying. Mm-hmm. It is cosplaying.
I think it has such a hard stigma because when you say cosplay, you associate it with like anime and things of that nature. Maybe a little bit of like comic books and things of that nature, but mostly anime for right now.
Oh, yeah.
But then when you think about like, when you think about like Western TV shows where the character designs, they're not necessarily more simple, but I think because, you know, we're all American, they pull basically off of what American trends are, so it's a lot easier for us to do it, so it doesn't really feel like cosplay compared to like Eastern or anime inspired stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like I said before, like how with comic books where it feels so you have to, like, put in the effort to get that stuff. Because now there's a signature look that you have to go for in comparison to, like I said before, number 5, where she just wears casual clothing. Or Kim Possible, too. Or you need some cargo pants and a crop turtleneck and all this other stuff. So, yeah.
I was going to say that when I think of cosplay, just from looking at it a lot, I just think complicated, but like you said, it isn't, because there's a lot of options out there for people.
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
I think that's a really common cosplay where people end up doing like really interesting takes on it because it's so like you see it so often, so people put their own spins on it. Like I've seen Sexy Velma like so much, especially like a year ago on TikTok.
Yeah.
Or like, well, of course, Daphne.
So you bring up Sexy Velma and my brain is going to like, because I recently saw somebody bring this up, well-meaning Matthew Lillard. Sexy Velma from Scooby-Doo
the movie.
To...
Oh my god, yes.
The orange latex
suit. That was iconic.
Oh, that was so good. And
it was too tight, but I loved it.
I mean, even they knew it was too tight. They were like, this is problems.
Or, I don't see people dressing up this anymore, but I saw this video on YouTube. It was from, to give credit, it was from a YouTuber called like Modern Girls or something like that, where she was discussing like the early or late 2000s, 2010 era. Which
we talking about? I love her.
I love her too. Yes. Oh my god! Wait. where it was this weird pseudo like Twilight core fashion, where everything like all the girls were dressed like they just got their outfits from Walmart or the dollar store.
Yeah.
Or what's the other show called?
Vampire Diaries.
Mm-hmm. That's also cosplay
yeah.
too.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's so simple. And literally it has its own like dedicated genre of fashion now of just Twilight core.
In picking your character, picking like what you want that character to look like, because like you were pointing out, there is not a set you have to do this character exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my favorite things are like, I saw a guy at Yomicon last year. He dressed up in full built Halo armor that was bright pink with cat ears.
I saw that. I think I got a picture. I was like, that's amazing. I love it.
I know people who know him. So it was a very interesting, like, you can cosplay as real people. You can cosplay as fictional characters.
Mm-hmm.
You can cosplay as basically anything. Because the word cosplay, like, everybody's like, oh, cosplay, you know, intricate, complicated, is just costume play.
Yeah.
It was a word derived from a Japanese reporter who came over to America and was like, these people are dressing up as characters and interacting like they're the characters. And then that was, he combined costume and play into a new Japanese word. But, like, I mean, that's the point of cosplay, is it's not just, like, yeah, it's dressing up as your character, but it's embracing that character. Let's actually start on that. Who are our characters that we have in our banks?
I think the most I ever dressed up as was when I was a kid and I did, oh my god, what's this girl name? Oh my god. Princess Leia. When she had the white dress and the standard one. That's the most I ever did.
So I cosplay as Literate Riding Hood. I got my basket, got my cape. I had my cape since I was like 8.
Let's maybe talk about how to actually get into cosplay. What your materials can be, how to pick a character, what you can and can't do. That is, like, where your fine, fine line is.
Easy. Let me answer that. No blackface. It's crazy I have to say that, but stop doing it, cosplayers.
Oh.
There's no reason. I can tell that you're Yoroichi from Bleach if you have on the orange top and the black leggings. There's no reason to do blackface. I'm so sick of having this conversation.
It seems like common sense.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I truly do believe that the majority of cosplayers know this and they don't do it.
Yeah.
But it's always that weird small percentage that has to do it because they feel as though that it's not authentic without it. Or, yeah, don't blackface Princess Tiana either. It's so weird. The green dress, everyone will know who you are. Like, if I dress up as Cinderella, they're gonna know who I am. I don't have to do a whole ass white chicks.
right.
I'm gonna just say this in general. I find it so weird when people are like, oh, I have to change change my race, change the characters. Like, I have to, like, I see it in art where I'm just like,
I feel weird
about this.
And that's my
biggest
problem with Disney right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They're race swapping constantly.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like they're trying to do it for diversity reasons.
That's the only
the woke.
No, I know. I'm trying not to say it though, because if I say it, it's a problem.
For me, it's
Tinkerbell. That's all I'm gonna say. Is
I haven't seen Tinkerbell, but I have seen the
black.
I mean, at the end of the day,
I'm sorry. What?
Yara Shahidi. The Tinkerbell movie. She's black.
Yara Shahidi is playing her. From Girl from Grown-ish or Black-ish.
Live action one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, it's a live action? They need to stop with the live action.
I think that's the bigger problem.
It's the live action.
Companies like Disney and, you know, other film studios, they don't want to take risks anymore.
Yeah.
They would just want to stick with the same formula that gets them the profit.
Yeah.
And be more diverse and give more people.
But it just,
I guess.
It's just, they're not selling like entertainment anymore. They're selling a product.
Yeah.
I would rather but them just come up with characters that are new.
Kanto. That was beautiful.
So
they
good.
They need to make more stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be diverse, make a diverse character. Don't pull an old character and make it diverse.
It's just like, lazy.
Which I can't wait to cosplay Isabella. I just gotta figure out how to do it. And to bring it kind of back to what we were talking about before. Somewhat, I just wanted to comment. I feel like it's complicated. It's truly a complicated topic that there is a wrong answer, but there is no real right answer to it. Because while I can understand the frustration of just like constantly changing the race of the character,
mm-hmm.
especially if the character has something to do with a particular group of people, like ethnic fairy tales and all the other stuff. But I also get it on not what Disney's doing, but I also get it to the people who are in support of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because my
mm-hmm.
Cousin has a daughter, a young daughter, and that young daughter loves Ariel. Like, she has her whole room.
That movie.
Yeah, her whole room is like Ariel.
Mm-hmm.
And when my cousin, like, we were just, like, hanging out one day, like, the whole family, and my cousin told me that when she showed her daughter the trailer for live action Ariel, my little cousin cried because she was so happy. So I do get it for what people who are supportive of it,
mm-hmm.
because this is, at least in America, this is what everyone, regardless of race, has been shown as the penultimate, like, Disney female, like, all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine the races of people who can't emulate that and are now being brought into it, regardless
mm-hmm.
of how messy and actually genuine it is, it's still, some people count it as a win. And to bring it back to the cosplaying thing, it's the same notion.
Mm-hmm.
That character canonically will always be that race. So whoever's race, like, doing the cosplay of it,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to change that history of that character.
Yes.
So it's okay for you not to be 100% accurate
yes.
in it. Like, people will still understand who you are because these characters have iconic looks. Like, if I were to cosplay as Batman, or if you cosplay as Catwoman, people will know who you are.
Yeah.
I mean,
one may look more prettier than another, but, like,
yeah.
my best reference is, I'll bring it back to Molly Muck. Molly Muck is a purple tiefling that's, like, taller than me, skinnier than me, has male bits. I still cosplay him. I still crossplay him. And I'm not getting people who are like, oh, I'm angry because you're not purple. Like, I have a thing where I'm allergic to most body paints. I have a skin allergy that's just like, hey, you're going to put this on? You're going to have a rash for like 3 days. Why am I going to torment myself when it's like, I can just give the feel of that character. I can give the personality of that character. I've never understood the, you are exactly that character down to every feature, every skin color, all of that. Like, there is a level of comfort, maybe, where it's like, I may not feel comfortable, I may love that character, but I may not feel comfortable cosplaying as them due to feeling like I may get called out for, like,
It's a big issue because
it's like that is in the black community. It's like, we don't want people outside our race. Well, a lot of people
in our community don't want people outside of race to cosplay our character. Because mm-hmm. we have so many little, and I guess we just hold on to that. So
I'm going to disagree with you. I don't mm-hmm. think it's that we don't want people to cosplay our characters. We just don't want people to do blackface.
I've seen that as an issue, but I also see people's like, well, you have all these characters. It's like, it's a small niche.
Yeah, I've seen those too.
I
don't get it. I mean, I understand the feeling behind it because there is a tendency for the actual black cosplayer who does do that character and does it well to get overshadowed by the non-black people. And that includes other people of color too.
Yeah.
Who do like a Princess Tiana, and it'll be like a non-Afro-Latino woman compared mm-hmm. to like, hell, even like a Asian woman who will overshadow like a black person of any like ethnic origins. Yeah. I understand that.
It's hard to want to cosplay characters and not knowing the comfort level of like not doing blackface. No. No. But like, where is the comfort level of like, is it okay to cosplay somebody who's, you know, like, I cosplay somebody who's known Asian, and it's like, am I going to get hate because I'm not? Am I going to get somebody who's just going to scream at me like, why are you cosplaying somebody who's not just white? Like,
yes and no. I feel as though if you were black, you would get that question a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Black cosplayers I've seen online yeah. who would cosplay don't change their race. Hell, they'll put their own culture spin on it, like mm-hmm. the hair or whatnot, mm-hmm. and still get hate for being just black. And it doesn't even matter. The person right. could be like super. I know this one cosplayer. She was literally like kicked off of TikTok.
I think I know who you're talking about.
She's super yeah. light skinned. Like, if she said she was something else, I might believe her. And she was kicked off of, like, she was banned or something off of TikTok because of all the hate speech and all, like, the hate she was getting because she cosplayed as the one chick from Evangelion something like that, or one Japanese character. She didn't change her, like, she didn't do nothing special to her hair. She just kept it the same. She just had on the signature outfit.
Yeah,
and people did not like that.
I just don't get that. It's like, you can tell that she's doing it because she wants to. She's not doing it for any, like, selfish reason she's not doing it to be hurtful to anyone anyway. She's trying to enjoy herself and express herself through the character, and I don't know why people can't be empathetic or like understand that. It's just
when I know I'll tough. Let you
right yeah. just, it doesn't make any sense.
It's yeah.
like
dress who you want to be, just be respectful, that's yeah. all. Yeah.
I think the idea, especially from here in the West, because I know it's like of course in like all parts of Asia, not all parts, but in people like parts of Asia or Japan, and like even like, I don't know if you've heard, like seen it or talked about it with other people, like the black diaspora, mm-hmm. they have no problem with other people doing like culturally significant things, mm-hmm. but then people forget the notion of, what's it called, hegemony, or you know what I'm talking about, where everyone's pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's where everyone, like the confusion is coming from and how it's bleeding over to other topics. Like, oh, well, this character has, like, box braids, and it has, like, special parts or whatever to signify that person's power or whatever, like, hearts for the box braids. But I'm white, and I try to do it because I really love that character. But then black people got mad at me or get mad at me. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, because that's still part of my like culture. My culture is not really a costume,
right?
And I think people from other parts of the world don't really get that when you're mm-hmm. not in a more diverse country where you're the minority, and it's so easy for your culture to be picked on. Because I still remember in the early 2000s where Asian culture was really the butt of the joke, and it was not even funny. I still remember in the early 2000s where black culture was still the butt of the joke. It was not even funny. Hispanic culture too. And now we're seeing this renaissance of like all three of these cultures. And even indigenous culture too, thankfully, is starting to make more known, widespread in America. Mm. And with that, we have people of different cultures wanting to try stuff out, but then not really understanding that these people, the kids, the adults, who grew up in that time where literally you, like 2 years ago, mm-hmm. called me slurs for having these ethnic foods or mm-hmm. this ethnic dress or this ethnic way of talking, and now it's all of a sudden cool. I think people from outside that don't really get where that's coming from. And saying it out loud, I understand that it kind of sounds like childish or sounds like hurt feelings, but it's still a conversation that we all need to have. And we're like, it's weird because it's bleeding over to other topics, like I said before, or situations where, like, in all actuality, it sounds like, oh, well, yeah, of course, if that's part of the character's look, then do it. Like, who cares? But then not understanding, like, oh, well,
the significance
of, especially,
even if it's the creator didn't realize the significance, which is almost worse, but because most people aren't doing it with the intent of, like, oh, I know what this is and I don't care. It's, I'm copying.
I like this character is, and this is the character's whole look.
And it doesn't sound like hurt feelings or anything. It's just what people need to hear.
Yeah.
It's a fine line between appropriation and appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's everyone's stance here on, like child cosplay? And I don't mean, like, children doing cosplay, but I mean adults doing child cosplay. Because there's a fine line. Because, like, I know, What's the girls? We know the girls. The Powerpuff Girls. That's, like...
That's different, though. Why is it different?
Because I saw, like, a Toph cosplay, and I saw a Toph fan art where she had, like, triple Gs, and I was...
Was she a kid form, or was she in her adult form?
Kid form. Her was her kid outfit.
Does she only have a kid form?
No, she is an adult form.
She can't. Legend of Korra.
Okay.
You see, wait, why would we say kid form as she evolved?
Because that's how we age. Okay. We only evolve. Right. We do not go through stages. We go from...
Okay. It would be fine. If it was adult form, because it's
The Powerpuff ones, I feel like they're... I feel like the only reason it's different is because even they say, like, it's a problem in the show. And I feel... They beat them up,
I've ever seen them as kids, though. That's... For me, I've never seen them as kids.
I think that's because of the art style. The art style is so simple that...
Like, I know they're little
Wait,
girls,
I think we're maybe talking about two different things. Because I'm thinking of the episode with the villains who dress up as the Powerpuff Girls that are just butch manly men with Powerpuff Girl heads.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Hairy
legs. I'm just talking about in general.
Oh, okay. So, I do see the problem, but I also see the... Like, the level you're going where it's like, oh yeah, I'm making a child sexy is a problem. That is a problem. But, like, there is a character, I'll reference BlazBlue, that is a, like, 2,000-year-old vampire who was a child. And it's a Lolita.
I have thoughts on that. I have so many thoughts on that. Because I don't understand why they just... Because they chose that route. Just make them, like, 18 or whatever.
It's a fetish.
It is a fetish. And there's a
problematic fetish.
I don't understand when you chose that route.
I mean, I will admit, the girl in BlazBlue is not sexualized, but the community sexualizes her.
Which I don't understand why they get upset when people get weirded out.
Like, they're... How do I want to say this and not sound like I'm... Because I do not support it.
Again, let me see if I can
problem
do it.
Line
let me
like,
see if I can do it. As an adult woman or an adult man who wants to do a child's cosplay, right. We cannot help the bodies that we have as of right now. Right. We cannot help the bodies that they were given. Us doing a cosplay does not inherently sexualize the character. But there are certain steps that we take just because we're adults now and we want to, you know... sex things up, or because we just feel better about the costume if we do it our own way, that ends up sexualizing the character.
Yes.
And while that might not be inherently problematic, given the intent, the impact can be something different.
It can ruin someone's childhood in a way.
It can ruin someone's childhood, but more importantly, it can step into some dangerous situations that we don't know what that person will do later on down the line.
Yeah. No, it's, like, I don't see the true issue with cosplaying a child or a younger person. I don't see a main issue. But if you're deliberately, like... How much cleavage we showing today?
Yeah.
How many extra pairs of bras are we wearing to make sure that looks sexual? That's where the problem is. Yeah. Yes, I have a problem with overly sexualized characters, not in the you shouldn't be sexual, you shouldn't be. I don't care if you are into dominatrix, if you're into being super sexy. I want women to have a voice in that sexiness. I want the women to be making that choice that it's like, yeah, I want my character to, like, be hot as shit and still be able, you know, kick ass, take names.
Right.
That's the level of, like, we're pulling those characters from guys' point of views.
You remember?
I will be honest, too, like, when I see that stuff where women have to do that for their, you know, because cosplaying can be a career to some extent, right?
Mm-hmm. And can be a big one.
You know, be over-sexualized. I just feel bad. I'll be completely honest.
Yeah, because they have to sexualize themselves. They want to get the views and the money.
I mean, one of the greatest examples I can give, like, from personal, like, knowledge would be...
I might be a lumberjack. Sorry, I was showing them Himbo Superman.
Oh, Himbo Superman is so good.
Wow.
See, why, that, I, if it was even like that, I wouldn't even care.
Well, because the thing is we appreciate it when it's like, oh my god, they're actually showing, like,
male nipples.
Male, oh, like, male bodies that are, like, just there for female fan service, mm-hmm. where we're just like, yes. But the issue is they're so few and far between. A lot of comic books, a lot of mm-hmm. animes are all drawn from male perspectives. Yeah. They're all, like, male perspectives that you're just like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to put a lot of, like, fan service towards your men that when we see those characters sprinkled in that you're just like, thank you.
Yeah.
But for, and I don't know if this is the same for guys, but, like, when it's, you see so many sexy
it's
characters
so
that you're just
sexualized.
Like,
it's just a thing.
I guess women are more sexualized than men in a lot of geek culture is because that geek culture has tended to be, like, a male-dominant domain, I guess. Mm-hmm. A lot of, like a lot of guys like that stuff. But now, with the age of Marvel movies and anime becoming more popular, I don't know, more females are, being like, oh, are being introduced to it, I guess.
I think live action actually helps with that, because now Wonder Woman can't run around in a unitard on live action. I mean, she could. I mean, they tried that with Harley Quinn, basically. But she, practically, the actress just can't do that. So yeah. Now they have to do something, not more conservative, but just more realistic. Black Widow can't run around in a skin tight, nothing,
mean,
no pockets, anything.
Marvel even made fun of that costume choice with Wanda in WandaVision. They pulled out her original Scarlet Witch outfit from the comic books in the Halloween episode. And they were just like, this is funny, isn't it? Because it's so unrealistic that she was like, I'm like a super villain now or something. And she's like, I could not walk in this normally.
I think people are forgetting the medium too. And we brought this up on the last podcast that with animation and just like comic books, it's way easier and way more believable for people to be in unitards, both guys and girls. Like, what's his name? Plastic Man from DC. He's basically in a, just like a super short, yeah, one short unitard, but like literally comes right below his butt. And it's way more believable for him to be like that
mm-hmm.
because of the medium.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets transfer over into like animation. And then in animation, where it goes from animation to live action and to cosplaying, that's where the creative differences come from.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we're working with actual human beings who have actual ribs in their bodies and, you know, human anatomy. So now things have to be a little different.
To bring it back to one of our starting points, Jimmy Choo personally signing up with Sailor Moon to put out an entire line of Sailor Moon shoes, purses, and handbags and accessories. Vans pairing up with JoJo's Bizarre Adventures.
Oh, yeah.
Gucci pairing up with JoJo's Bizarre Adventures. The Louvre Art Museum pairing up with JoJo's Bizarre Adventures.
Nike paired up with Steve.
But we're seeing companies pairing up with, like, with JoJo, it totally believable because the artist uses avant-garde fashion poses for every single JoJo pose. That is just a pose that he's taken to the extreme of an avant-garde pose. And he has posted the references and he said, this is what it is. This is where I found it. But look at what that's gotten him. He now gets, he has his books sold in the Louvre. He has partnerships with Gucci and I think Dior and Versace. They have all had like literal lines of fashion that, yeah, they're not available to the general public. You can't just go into a store and buy them. But they made them, and they are based around those fashions that came out of his manga, which is taking cosplay and making it fashion. And I am excited for that. I want to see more fashion that is just like, let the nerds run wild with how much impractical things can we make practical.
I was just thinking, since before we close out, the Met, I feel like... minus the last couple of years, I feel like the Met was a really good place to see like high-end cosplay without it being called cosplay.
Oh yeah,
like when Zendaya,
Cinderella dress.
Yeah, the Cinderella dress, and when she was Joan of the Arc.
Yeah,
that's... when SZA was, I forgot what she was, but she was something inspiring. She looked really good. It's one of her iconic looks with the little halo around her. Mm. What's her face? Whenever Rihanna was on, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, like. People were like, oh, avant-garde is just being, like, avant-garde, and you're taking inspiration from things, and then you're applying it to, like, fashion. That's what cosplay is. Final thoughts? Or have we convinced people to start cosplaying, besides Morty?
Yes, I think so. just, at the end of the day, it's just, like, if you enjoy the process of creating costumes, you enjoy the process of going to conventions, if you think you would like that, you like a new hobby, you know, do it, you know, try it. You only live once, right? So
right, I feel so anybody can, you know, cosplay. Like, don't worry about if you don't have the budget. Like, just find something in your closet, you know, come close to the character as is, and just, you know, just have fun with it. Just enjoy yourself being that character. Like, you don't have to spend a whole bunch of money on anime, on cosplay.
Yeah. I mean, we do anyways.
You do. Yes, because I can't lie. I have spent money. But if you're on a budget, you can still cosplay on a budget.
Yeah, don't put a price tag on satisfaction.
Right. You don't have to spend a lot of money to look good as the character. I actually did write about it a little bit when I went to YumaCon for that one article, when I interviewed the person, J&J, the weapons booth, mm-hmm. he did talk about how he enjoys seeing people in cosplay and how cosplay has this type of power. Like, you can just escape from, you know, your day-to-day life into this character. You can, like, pretend. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. I think everybody should do it.
On that final note, this has been the Mirror News podcast on cosplay, what it is, and how I get into it. I've been Catherine Morden, your editor-in-chief, and with me we've had...
Kiana Freeman, creative editor for Mirror News.
Tiara, the freelance graphic designer.
Sam, the freelance graphic artist.
Thank you, and we look forward to talking to you next time.
That was Catherine Warden, Kiana Freeman, Tara Stamps, and Samuel Marsh. This concludes the April 2023 episode of Mirror News Now. We hope you enjoyed the show. Until next time, this is Maya Mustafa.